Hey there, and welcome to Soul Church. Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life. We've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com. Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
I believe this is a house of miracles. Something's going to happen in this service in your life. You in this room, you at the front, you at the back, you watching online, because Jesus is here. This is His house, and we're His people, and this is His word, and it's incredibly powerful. So come on, why don't we pray together? Jesus, we give you the first place in this service. We allow you to speak to our hearts. We allow you to have free course in our lives. Whatever situations people are going through, whatever pain they're currently experiencing, would you come, Lord Jesus? Would you meet with them? Would there be change and turnaround as we fix our eyes upon you? So we give you this service. Say, speak to us, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone with a bit of faith said a big loud amen. Why don't you take your seats, give someone a high five, and let's thank the team for doing a fantastic job. Well done, team. Come on, give it up for the team. So good to have you with us. Again, great to see you, Sam and Chloe, and everyone that is joining us. My name's Steve. I was born in Stockton-on-Tees in the Northeast. I'd love to know your name and where you were born. So after three, I want you to call out your name nice and loud and tell me where you were born. Put it in the chat if you're watching online. Are you ready to do that? Your name and where you were born. One, two, three. Awesome. Good to meet you all. And welcome to church. We've been in an incredible series. I've loved the series that Pastor John kicked off at the start of the year. This is the year of the open door. And he's preached this whole series of messages from Revelation 3:8, where Jesus said, "Behold, I have set before you an open door." If you didn't hear the message last week, I thought it was particularly exceptional from Pastor John. He said, "There's a door in your wall." Wasn't that brilliant? You might feel like you're facing a wall, but actually God always makes a door. So today, going to continue this series. We're going to read God's word together from Psalm 84 and verse 10. And whenever we read the word, we honor it by standing. So come on, one more time in the room and at home, if you fancy it. Psalm 84 and verse 10. "For a day in your courts is better than a thousand." Now just pause there, think about that. It's a thousand times better to be in here than anywhere else you could be. And then he goes on, the psalmist, and says, "I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked." My title today is Doorkeepers and Door Openers. Doorkeepers are door openers. That's the second time I've got my title wrong in 2 weeks, so that's not very good, but you can take your seats. Doorkeepers are door openers. Couple of questions for all of you, including those of you online. When was the last time you opened a door for someone else? Husbands, when was the last time you opened a door for your wife? How good are you at the back at opening doors for other people? I called my good friend, Pastor Paul Benger, this week, great pastor at Icon in Chesterfield. And as I was talking to him, I said this phrase, I said, Paul, thank you for being a door opener for Rachel and I in England. When you open doors for other people, it's because you believe in them. You value them. You cherish them. You want to encourage them. You see potential in them. You see possibility in them. Would the people that are closest to you consider you to be a door opener or a door stopper? How would they describe you? How do you react when somebody opens a door for someone other than you? Do you see it as a door that could be closed to you? Or do you celebrate when someone opens a door for someone you love? Someone in the workplace, someone at church. What comes out of you in those moments? I remember when Rach and I were in Brisbane. It's probably now about 15 years ago, and I've been preaching since I was 15. That's a long time. It's 40 years next year. And I preached throughout my life. But when we first moved to Brisbane in around 2008, for the first 3 years, I didn't preach once. And what was slightly annoying was that Rachel got to preach all the time. Now, up until that point, I'd always been the preacher. She'd always been the worship leader. And I was kind of really pleased for her the first few times. But after a little while, I'm like, hey, how come I don't get to preach? And I remember the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And he said, Steve, how would you feel if from now on Rach stood on bigger platforms than you ever did? How would you feel? And it was like, whew, it was a challenge. How do you feel when those around you get given opportunities and you say, hey, where's my door? Where's my opportunities? Are you a door opener or a door stopper? You say, but Steve, surely there are times when the door has to be opened, but also the door shut. Absolutely. Jesus is the master doorkeeper. In Revelation 3 in verse 7, the scripture we've been looking at, it says about Jesus, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the keys of David, he opens doors and no one can shut them. And he also shuts doors and no one can open them. Jesus is both a door opener and a door closer. And there is times in our lives when we have to do both. But make sure you know when to open the door and when to close the door. Because sometimes we open the doors to all the wrong people and all the wrong things, and sometimes we close the door to the people that we love that love us the most. Got to know when to open the door, when to close the door. This week, some of you opened the door to Facebook or social media every morning, and you closed the door to God's book, the Bible. Question, which would help you the most? Facebook or God's book? We got to know when to open the doors to the right things and the right people. But today, I want to focus not on closing doors, but on being a door opener and having the wisdom to know when to open doors. I know when I turned 50 4 years ago, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, Steve, from now on, your role is to be a door opener for younger leaders and younger pastors. It's no longer about you and your ministry and your platform. I want you to focus on encouraging and opening doors for young leaders, investing in them. And that's what I pretty much do for most of my time. We've got some amazing young pastors in our church and leaders, and I get the privilege of investing in them. I have the privilege of coaching pastors around the country. This week in the street on Friday night at our youth service, we had 44 of our young guys and young girls learning how to follow Jesus, and I got to teach them how to open God's Word. How amazing is that? That we're discipling right here in our church. Young people. That's what God said to me, and He wants to say to some of you, you've got to start focusing on being door openers for others. Being Bible openers for others. For your family, for the people in your workplace. I mean, last Thursday we had our Bible study night here. And I loved it. Thursday nights, they're incredible. You can check them out any week. And we've been going through the book of Philippians in depth, half a chapter each week. And last week we're at Philippians 2, and it says this. I don't know whether it's on the screen. It says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Look at that. Let each of you esteem others better than yourself. Now that sounds really easy, doesn't it? But do you do it? Do you esteem the people around you better than yourself? Do you do nothing out of selfish ambition? Can you imagine what would happen if we all just did that? How good would that be? How good would your marriage be if you considered your spouse better than yourself? Esteem them, open doors for them, focus on serving them. But it's not human nature to be like that, is it? I love Cromer. Come on, who loves Cromer? What a great day out, especially in the sun. And I love to watch the people crabbing on the end of the pier. Do you sometimes watch that, catch the crabs and whack them in the bucket? And watch to see what happens with the crabs. Just when they think they're going to get out on top of each other, some little tinker crab comes and reaches up and says, no chance, mate, and pulls them back into the bucket. It's called the crab mentality. Whether it's because of envy or jealousy, I think we've got a picture somewhere of, you know what, humanity is like that, aren't we? Ever seen that going on? Maybe some of you have been to Barcelona and seen the human Castell Tower. There's a different picture. This one's a bit freaky. But I love watching YouTube videos of these guys. And you go, and what they do is they try and, if we can put that second picture up, they try and get people to stand on each other's shoulders. And look at that. They can go 8 high. How amazing is that? It's all about community values. It's about supporting each other. It's about lifting one another up. Can you imagine how good it would be is if we all lived with that spirit where we're trying to lift people up? We're not pulling people down into the small bucket of limitation, but we're trying to push people into an ocean of possibility and potential. I wonder which do we do? The psalmist said this. He said, a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper, a door opener in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the... 1,000 times better. You know, it's good to be a door opener in life. But it's way better, 1,000 times better to be a door opener in the house of the Lord. Why is that? Have you ever been to a house that blew you away? A posh house, a big house. I remember the first time I went to Rachel's house when she was 13. Trevor and Joyce were kind enough And I'm from the Northeast, all right? You know, pigeons and flat caps and miners and all that. And I remember we came down to Norwich camp, and Trevor and Joyce were really kind, invited our family. And they got a beautiful house with a tennis court and an indoor swimming pool. And I'm like, well, I'm 13. I'm like, I walked in, I'm like, wow. I remember that their carpet was really thick. And I remember I sunk into the carpet and I said, Mom, I've just sunk into this carpet. And she gave me a clip around the ear. She said, be quiet, Al Stephen, all right? And I was like, whoa. In the year 2000, I was invited to Sandringham by the Queen. That's not bad for a little northern lad, is it? Hey, you beauty. Literally went to the Queen's house to have afternoon tea with her. And I went into Sandringham. Oh. This is what's going on in Psalm 84. The doorkeepers. The start of the psalm, you read of the sons of Korah. It's a psalm of the sons of Korah. Who were the sons of Korah? They were the doorkeepers. Their job was to welcome people into the greatest house you'll ever see, God's house. And so as you read this psalm, you read it with a sense of, are you ready for what you're about to see? Who's ready to go into God's house? Here we go. It says, how lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the court of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out to the living God. My soul, it's looking for and longing for a place like this. And it's only when you go into the courts of the living God. Not the dead God. We're not in the courts of a dead God today, are we? Who's glad that he is a living God, that he's alive and he's present. And everything your soul has ever longed for is in the courts of the living God. I love this place. Verse 3, it says, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. We used to have barns, and swallows would fly in and build their little, and you'd see these tiny little vulnerable young swallows. You know, in the Bible, sparrows, Jesus said that you can buy a couple of sparrows for a penny. So how much is a sparrow worth? Half a pea. I can tell you're all really good at maths. I mean, no, that's not much. Have you ever felt like a sparrow? Not worth very much. Nobody sees you. And yet here in the house of the living God, the amazing God, it's a place even for a sparrow. And the swallow, her young, that most vulnerable and fragile, finds safety, finds home. If you feel like a sparrow today, you know the best place to find home and safety and security is in the courts of the living God. There is no place like this place. It goes on and it says, blessed is the man or woman whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, that word Baca means tears. They make it a spring. It's talking about pilgrims going up to the house of the Lord as they did in Jerusalem three times a year. And the truth is, we're all on a pilgrimage. We're all on a journey. And life has its ups and its downs, and we all know there's moments when we get into the valley of Baca, valley of tears. Some of you have been in that dark valley this week because life is painful. Life hurts. We lose people. We lose loved ones. Sometimes we lose them on another continent and you feel so helpless and powerless because you can't be there. And so when you're alone, the tears flow. But I love this psalm because it talks about how your strength is in God. When your strength runs out, thank God. When you feel weak, when you feel like you can't take another single step, when you want to pack it all in and you're in the valley of tears, your strength is in God, and it says, you walk through. And some of you are in that valley, but I've got some good news for you. You're not going to stay in the valley because God is going to strengthen you, and you're going to walk through, and you're going to come out on the other side because your strength is in God. He says you're going to go from strength to strength. There is no house like this house. Better is one day in your courts. You know what I love about the sons of Korah? They're the ones that stand at the door and they say, come on in. What you're about to see is going to be so amazing. But as I read this psalm, they don't marvel at the architecture, the height of the ceilings, the quality of the decor. Do you know what they marvel at? It's not the house, it's the one who's in the house. It's the courts of the Lord. It's where the living God dwells. And those sons of Korah, those door openers, know that it's Him that takes your breath away. I love that. I've taken people into this building on several occasions over the last few weeks when it's empty, and it's amazing. They come in, they look at this, and people's heads are fried. They're like, wow, they never expected church to be like that. And I love that I get to do that. But there is nothing like standing up here on a Sunday and sensing the presence of God, and seeing people being moved and changed and transformed, seeing them come down to these altars and stand here and meeting with God and seeing the tears at this altar. It's not about a building. It's better is one day in your courts, Lord, than a thousand. I love to see people getting right with God. Why is this place so amazing? Well, we reach the climax. We reach climax in verse 11. Having said, better is one day in your courts than a thousand, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. It says in verse 11, are you still with me? Are you loving this house? It focuses in on the one who is in the house, and it says this, For the Lord God is a sun. He's the sun. He's the author and sustainer of life and light. And nothing grows or flourishes without the sun. And how many know when the sun comes out, everything changes? For those of you that are watching overseas, Norwich is a beautiful place, like the rest of England, but it can get a bit grim in the winter, can't it? It's not a lot of fun in January and February and March. And then this year, April sucked as well, didn't it? It was like rain and grey skies. And come on, if we're honest, us Brits can be a bit miserable some of the time, can't we? And when the weather is bad, we're worse than ever. That was our April. But who's glad that this week the sun came out in England? And did you notice? Everything changed. People were a little lighter, a little brighter. The countryside looks more beautiful. People's mental health improved. Alan Cooper wears his shorts. He's like Casper. His legs just glow. Everything's bright. You know when the sun comes out? When the sun shines in the dark places of your soul, everything changes. I love this quote by John Piper. It says, I think if we can get it on the screens, the sun of God's glory was made to shine at the center of the solar system of our soul. And when it does, all the planets of our life are held together in their proper orbit. How many know that when you're right with God in your soul, you can cope with just about anything? I'm seeing nods from a few of you because you know that it's true. So friend, have you allowed the sun of God's presence and God's glory to come in, to bring life, to bring joy on the inside? Jonathan Edwards, another great quote that I love. He said, the enjoyment of God is the only happiness with which our souls will be satisfied. Fathers and mothers and husbands and wives and children, the company of earthly friends are but shadows. But God is the substance. They are scattered beams, but God is the sun. The Lord God is the sun who wants to shine in your soul. Maybe you're here and you say, Steve, well, I don't feel the sun shining in my soul. Maybe you feel like you're still in April on the inside. Maybe it feels like God is so far away. But friend, the thing about the sun is it can shine even in the darkest place of your heart. In your life. You know, the sun is so amazing. It inspires me. Can any of you remember from your school days, how far away is the sun? Can you remember that little fact that you learned? All right, should I ask someone? For a second, Rose is going, I haven't got a clue, have you? You two. Anyone know? Come on, Cam. 93. Give it up for Cam. 93 million miles. Now, how far is that? Just imagine you came out of church in your car, turned left, because we only turn left on the Hartsey's Lane, and you set off for the sun, and you drove at 60 miles an hour. Do you know how long it would take you to get there? 177 years. How many know that's a long trip? That's further than Swaffham, isn't it? Some of you, the way you drive, it would take you 1,000 years, but let's not go there. It's a long way away. But on Friday, the sun gave a little pulse of energy from its core. It went, phew. The technical phrase is a CME, a coronal mass ejection. One of the astronomers at the Royal Observatory described it as the sun gave a little sneeze. I like that. That was Friday. Friday night. Normally, when I step out on a night in Attlebridge at 11 o'clock, it's pretty dark. But I took a picture this Friday night. Come on, let's have a look. I know some of you did. Look at that. I thought it was going to cost me thousands of pounds to go to Norway or Alaska. But on Friday night, for free, we got that. How good is the sun? 93 million miles away. The sun sneezes. And your darkest night can become beautiful. The Lord God is a sun. He's a sun. Our job as doorkeepers, when we stand at the doors, it's not to draw attention to yourself. You're not the sun. You can't transform people. When I stand at the door, my job is not to get them to say, look at me. You want them to open the door so they can go in to where the action is. Where is the action? The sun is not me. The sun is God. We've got to be door openers and let people see how magnificent and how glorious He is. That's our job, church. We're not the sun, He is. John Piper says this, we are called to be faithful in magnifying the glory of God. Not magnifying like a little microscope that makes small things look bigger, but like a telescope that makes unimaginably great galaxies of glory visible to the human eye. Friend, let's not have our microscopes this week. Let's get our telescopes out and let's show people God's glory. He is a sun and He's amazing. Do you know, little fun fact, that you can fit 1.3 million Earths inside the sun. He's a sun. He's big, He's powerful, He's magnificent. Verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. Matthew Buck, good friend, I've known you for many, many years. Do you mind helping me? Would your daughter, would you come up? It's all right, you don't need to speak. Would you just come up with Matthew, just quick? Give these guys a round of applause. Come up, Matthew. And I've forgotten your daughter's name, but she's lovely. Come on up. I mean, look at the size of this guy, all right? Just have a look. I want you to stand there, all right? Face the people. All right, and I want you to flex. Oh, you already are. All right, that's good. Sorry, couldn't help it. I've known this guy long. And what's your name, sweetheart? Eden. This is his daughter, Eden. The Bible says the Lord God, He's a sun and He's a shield. Listen to this. God doesn't give you a shield. He is your shield. There is a world of difference. Now, just imagine you're Eden for a moment. And the enemy wants to get you, and I'm going to be the enemy for the purposes of this illustration. If I want to get to Eden, the Bible says that the Lord is your shield. And He's big. He's even bigger than Matthew. He's got even bigger, but I mean, this guy's a unit, all right? I would like him as my shield, wouldn't you, all right? But listen, it's not saying that Matthew is your shield. It's saying that the Lord God is your shield. So every time the enemy attacks you, he's first got to get past Matthew. The enemy first has to get past the God who loves you, the God who protects you, a God who is there for you, a God who is powerful. He is your son and He's your shield. Who's glad about that? You're taking a picture, Mom? Do you want a picture of the three of us, Joe? There we go. Give him a little wave. All right, superb. Come on, give him a round of applause. Thank you, guys. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. But it doesn't end there. It says, the Lord will give grace. He'll give you grace. May Bank Holiday, 1982. I know that's a long time ago. First walked into this church. I was 13. I was a little tinker. Naughty little teenage boy. I didn't know Jesus. I didn't want to know him. I didn't like Christians. They used to meet in a barn on our farm. Me and my brother used to sit at the top, throw things, and spit on the Christians. My dad conned me. I ended up in a youth camp, West Runton. Lovely little place. I was expecting football and barbecues. And went in a tent. I'll never forget the Tuesday night. The presence of God hit that little tent. And all I can describe is I knew in that moment that Jesus was real. And he was good. In fact, I just knew that he was holy. He was perfect. The only other thing I knew was that I wasn't. I'd done lots of wrong things, thought lots of wrong thoughts, and I felt guilty, and I felt like I wasn't worthy. Maybe you're in this room, you can't deny it. You know the presence of God is here, and he's good, and he's holy. You know, you've done some things you're not proud of. You don't feel good enough. You feel guilty. And right now, for some of you at the back, some of you in the middle, some of you at the front, you know you're not right with God. But I've got some really good news. He's a sun, he's a shield, and he gives grace. He doesn't give judgment. He doesn't give anger. He doesn't give condemnation. He's got a gift for you today. He wants to give you his grace. You say, Steve, I'm new here. I don't know, that's a religious word. What does grace mean? It means he loves you not because you are good. He loves you because he is good. You don't have to earn his love. You don't deserve his love. All you can do, like any gift, is receive it. In that tent, in May of 1982, I received the greatest gift I've ever received. The greatest gift that anyone can receive. I received Jesus, his grace, into my life. And it changed me forever. And I've been walking with him for 42 years. And it says, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. For 42 years, he's been giving me good things. He's given me a good wife. In fact, she's even better than good. She's amazing. Good family. Blessed me with a good job. You know, all you've got to do is just keep walking right. Keep walking right. I get to be a doorkeeper like the other elders and board members in this church on a Sunday, and I love it, usually at the front door. But here's what I notice. Lots of people, when they walk in like this. They don't want to make eye contact. You can tell they've had a tough week. But when they walk out, because I'm back on the door, It's amazing. You notice it especially at the Wonder. But every week I see the same people that walked in like this, they walk out like this. Psalm 3 and verse 3, it kind of sums up these verses. It says, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. He wants to lift your head. Because when he lifts your head, you can walk upright. You can be more conscious of God. You look to him for his help. You look to him for his grace. It's the only way you can live your life. Because life is tough. I want to be a doorkeeper this morning. I want to swing wide this door, as wide as I possibly can, and say to you, friend, it's time to come home. It's time to receive this gift. You may feel like a little sparrow. You may feel like you're not worth much. But everything your heart has longed for is in the house of the Lord. It's in a relationship with him. Will you receive that gift this morning? I'd like everyone to stand. I'm going to ask that nobody leaves. I'm going to ask most important question I've asked all morning, and it's this: will you receive the gift of grace? You say, Steve, I know I'm not right with God. I know I need to get right with him, but I don't know how. Let me help you. It's easy. You pray a prayer. You say, Jesus, I've been trying to live this life without you, but today I recognize I need you. Whether you're watching online, whether you're in this room, wherever you are, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to count to three in just a moment. When I count to three, I'm going to give you a chance to respond. I've opened that door. Now it's time for you to walk in and say yes to Jesus. And here's what he'll do. He'll forgive you of all of your sin. He'll give you a life of meaning and purpose, and he'll give you an eternal hope. He'll do all of that when he comes in to your life. Maybe, friend, you once walked with Jesus. If you're really honest, you're not walking with him today. And today, you know you need to come home. It'd be my greatest privilege to pray for you. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you all to bow your heads. Close your eyes. Our church are praying for you in this moment. I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, if you say, Steve, I want to get right with God, would you pray for me? When I count to three, I want you to slip up your hand high enough and long enough so I can see. We do this every week in our church. And then we're going to cheer for anyone who makes this amazing decision. So are you ready? God loves you, my friend. He's here. He's here to meet with you. So are you ready? When I count to three, you raise your hand. Are you ready? One, two, three. That's it. Lift up your hand. Thank you, friend. Thank you over here. Thank you, friend. It's beautiful. Thank you at the back there. Thank you over there. Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you over there. That's beautiful. Thank you, two of you at the back. I love that. I love that. Lots of hands. Here's what we're going to do. We're all going to pray this prayer together. We're all going to repeat it. But those of you that raised your hand, those of you listening online, I especially want you to pray this. So come on, repeat this after me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me, to forgive all my sins and failures. I believe that you rose from the dead so that I can have a brand new life. Please come into my heart and help me by the power of the Holy Spirit to trust and live for you. Amen. Amen. Come on, why don't we congratulate those people? I love it. For those of you in the room, we normally bring you forward, but just because of time today, I'm gonna ask you to do something for me at the end of the service. I'm gonna ask that wherever you are, when you gather your things, bring a friend if you need to. Can you come into this room over there? There's a little chapel, it's beautiful. And then there will be some of our team, and they're gonna give you a Bible. They're gonna answer any more questions that you may have. We just wanna help you, because you've just taken the first step. But there are so many more steps. We want to help you and teach you to live a Christian life. So please, before you go out of the service, the end of the service, just slip down there and see the teams. They want to help you. I'd love to pray for one more group of people. Greatest thing we can be in life is to be a door opener to the house of the Lord. To open wide the doors to our families, to our friends that don't know Jesus. When was the last time you opened a door for someone and invited them to church? You can bring them to church tonight in the five. It's our last one for a little while because we're changing our service times, but would you be a door opener? How many of you say, yeah, I want to be a door opener. I want to swing wide the gates. I'm going to pray for you, Lord. I pray that our church, we'd have the spirit of doorkeepers that open wide the doors to lost people. Would we welcome them home? Would we welcome them into your presence wherever we are this week? In our homes, in our marriages, in our workplace, in our schools, in our colleges. Would we swing wide the door? So take us, Lord. Use us to be doorkeepers and door openers in Jesus' name. And everyone who is willing to do it said, amen. Amen. Be door openers this week.
Thanks again for tuning in. If you said yes to Jesus today by saying the salvation prayer, we'd love for you to email connections@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision you've just made. And if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, head to soulchurch.com. And don't forget to stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching @soulchurchuk. Take care and God bless.